Have you ever been told you couldn't do something? That you weren't good enough? Not making the varsity team? Losing a spelling bee? Bombing a job interview? We pretty much all have, right? It's one of those harsh reality checks that everybody faces at one point or another. John Gurdon, winner of the 2012 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine.
And the schoolmaster wrote this report, the details of which I can't exactly remember, but the main gist of it was that he had heard that Gurdon was interested in doing science, and that this was a completely ridiculous idea because there was no hope whatever of my doing science, and any time spent on it would be a total waste of time, both on my part and the part of the person having to teach him.
Sports psychologist John F. Murray describes the effect being told you can't do something can have on your development.
I think it depends on what part of development they're at. If they're a young kid, you know, somebody in junior high school or elementary school, it could be pretty devastating, you know. But if you're more mature and you've already established yourself as a talented athlete, you're not going to let, you know, those things get in the way as much. If you have the seeds of greatness, that's just going to inspire you to be even better.
In today's show, you'll meet draft prospect Steve D'Amelio, who, despite people, including his high school coach, as well as a school he didn't even apply to, telling him he wasn't good enough, kept pursuing his dream. From NationalFootballPost.com, I'm your host, Eric Oler. This is Character Guys. A lot of players grew up knowing they wanted to play in the NFL. Steve D'Amelio wasn't one of them.
I grew up playing Pee Wee a little bit. I guess I started like third or fourth grade. Wasn't my first love. My first love was baseball. Playing baseball ever since T-ball days, on all the travel, you know, AAU, whatever teams. Wasn't quite sure if I was going to play in high school. Toyed around with the idea of playing golf in the fall, my freshman year of high school, as opposed to football. But I decided that I'd probably have better chance getting girls on the football team than I would on the golf team.
Steve grew up in Severna Park, Maryland. His father works for a plumbing wholesale company. His mother owns her own catering business. Towards the end of high school, he was getting interest from some schools, but his high school coach wasn't returning their calls. Steve describes what happened next.
I was like, what's up, man? You know, do you need the numbers? What's going on? And he kind of pulled me aside and he said, Steven, you know, I don't want to be the one to tell you this, but somebody's going to have to. He said, I don't see you as more than a NAIA player. He said, I don't even think you have the ability to play Division III football. And that kind of hit me, like, kind of smacked me in the face. Like, this guy's my high school coach. I just gave him, you know, 3 years of football, and I would jump on a sword for him, and he told me this. So that's one of those things that I play over in my head all the time.
Did you ever get close hearing that to giving up on it?
I mean, to hear that from like the central authority figure, you know, aside from your parents, to tell you that you can't, that your dreams are way too lofty, or that, you know, you'll never, and you know, at that point in my life, he was probably the utmost supporter that I knew on football. You know, I don't know anybody that really played in college, that played in the pros at that point in my life. So I was kind of like, oh, this guy thinks I can't. What's the deal? And then Coach Vaught, the guy who runs API, where I work out at now, really kind of took me under my wing, was like, look, man, don't listen to him. You work hard enough. As long as you stay dedicated, you'll get to where you want to be.
It's weird, too, because for every 10 or 20 people that tell you you're doing great, you hear that one voice in opposition, and it sticks with you.
Yeah, never forget it. I remember exactly what t-shirt I was wearing and where we were in my school when he told me that.
That wasn't the only sign Steve was getting that football might not be the best career path.
I actually have a letter from a school in high school. It's Colby College. It was a Division III school. I didn't even really want to go there, but they sent me one of those questionnaires to fill out and so they could get my transcript. But I filled it out and I sent it back to them. And about a week later, I got a letter back. And it was a letter that said, you know, Steven, we look for a certain kind of student athlete at Colby College. And I don't think you can fit the bill athletically or academically. And it was a very, very weird thing to get. I was like, why did they even waste the paper and the postage to send this back to me? You didn't even have to get back in touch with me. So it was very awkward. It came off very arrogant. And that's what I was thinking.
Both, like academically and athletically. Like, you're just a failure.
Yeah.
That's awful.
They're ruthless.
Knowing he might need another year before he got onto bigger schools' radars, Steve decided to attend prep school, Milford Academy, in upstate New York. It turned out to be the right decision.
I actually moved from offensive line to defensive end while I was there. Played with a whole bunch of good players. I think off the team we had 30-some guys get Division I offers.
Steve wasn't one of them. He only had a few offers from Division II schools, and not for a lot of money.
I had resigned myself to the fact that I was going to get my grades up and walk on out of University of Maryland, Towson, somewhere locally. And then the same guy who runs the gym I work out at now, got in touch with some of his college coaching contacts, put together a film for me, made somewhat of a workout video, similar to like a combine tape. Within about a week, I had a handful of FCS offers and a couple of visits scheduled. I eventually chose Gardner-Webb over Sacred Heart, Monmouth, Old Dominion, and Liberty.
Steve was recruited as a defensive end, but soon moved back to the position he was most comfortable with, right tackle.
About halfway through my freshman year, we had a couple offensive linemen get hurt. Our head coach got worried that we didn't have any backup, so he brought me over to the offensive line to start taking reps in case, you know, one more injury. We had to move some guys around, and we were able to make it throughout the year without any more injuries. I never had to burn my red shirt, and I just stayed over there. I was kind of in the impression that after the season I would move back in the spring, but I stuck over with the offensive line and worked out for the best.
Steve made first team All Big South in 2012 and second team All Big South in 2011. He credits his relationship and closeness with his family as one of the biggest factors that keeps him going.
The summer of my freshman year, my mom's younger sister passed away from breast cancer, and then about 2 months later, my dad's father passed away. All throughout, you know, one summer, and that was very tough on both my parents, losing two people so close to them. And it brought me really close to them and kind of taught me a lot about my parents and about their heart and their will and what they mean to other people. And it really kind of, I don't want to say it straightened me out a little bit, but it kind of brought me back down to earth after my freshman year away at school and really riding high on myself. It put things into perspective for me, definitely.
Was your relationship rough with them before that, or was that just kind of the one event that made them seem like real people?
I think it almost made them more my friends than it did my parents, and I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but it definitely changed our relationship a good bit because we were able to kind of talk about what we were feeling and what we were going through at those times together, and it brought them, I guess, closer to my peers than it did my parents. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you've got such walls up when you're a teenager. When you're
right,
teenager.
Right.
And your parents also usually do because they don't want to show weakness to their kids. So it's that's interesting. That seems to be something that everybody has to go through at one point or another.
Right, it's like crossing that threshold from like authority figure to kind of confidant or peer, I guess is probably a better word.
So what would you say right now is your biggest strength as a player?
I definitely think it's my athletic ability. You know, being a former defensive lineman, you know, not necessarily the traditional offensive lineman, the big, you know, clodhopper type. Like I said, early in my career at Gardner-Webb, I was able to get by and do pretty well based off just athletic ability. It was only until later in my career where I started to hone my technique a little bit. But, you know, at the next level, everybody's athletic. So I've really had to work hard on becoming a technician as well as an elite athlete. And I think that's something that's really set me apart. I'd like to think, and I don't know if this is arrogance or confidence, but I'm the most athletic offensive lineman out there. And that's just kind of the way I view it. And that's the confidence I think you have to have to succeed. If I don't think I'm the best, then why should somebody else?
What do you need to work on the most as a player?
I think I need to continue to get bigger and continue to get stronger. I've always kind of been on the lighter side, and I owe that a little bit to the shoulder surgeries I've had. I tore both my labrums, my right one during my sophomore year and my left one during my junior year. So I, if you know anything about that surgery, that's like a 6-month rehab. Wow. And like you're not, at least my protocols were that I wasn't allowed to really do anything at all for 2 or 3 months. So for my first little, I guess my, the spring after my sophomore year and the spring after my junior year, I was literally out until like June, basically. So having 2 months, not even a month, to prepare for a football season, I was never able to really put on the weight and put on the pure strength that you would like to in the winter. Did obviously the best I could through rehab and stuff to work on my lower body strength. But, you know, if you can't run or you can't jump, you know, there's really only so much you can do. And that's something I've really been working on now. I mean, this is really my first off season that I've had to really train in 2 years. And I've definitely seen a difference. Whereas last year, this time, I was hovering around 275, 280. I'm closer to 295, pushing 298, 300. So I think there's definitely a difference.
Yeah, I read a couple of the interviews that you've had with other places. You want to get over 300. I'm like, 295 is close enough. Like you're there, you know.
Yeah, it's tough, and it's like the last 5 pounds when you're going from 295 to 300 are the hardest five, you know.
Once again, Dr. John F. Murray explains why some players are able to turn injuries and critics into motivation, and others into the reason that they never make it.
Well, I mean, there's always people wanting to see the glasses half empty or make excuses. It's difficult enough to make it that you have to have that ability to shut out the naysayers and, you know, listen to the people that are supporting you. You know, because I think any success is riddled with, you know, challenges along the way and adversity, and whoever deals with the most adversity is the one that ends up on the top of the mountain, and, you know, it's the person that doesn't quit. And I think that's just part of the makeup of a person that's going to make it. So it's almost like a selection process. It's not going to guarantee they make it, but because you have to have the talent as well. But if you're going to quit because somebody says you can't make it, then you don't deserve to be there, I don't think.
Steve graduated with a degree in journalism. If football doesn't work out, he says he wants to become a professional wrestler, or if you hadn't guessed by his voice, a radio host. For more information on Steve, as well as our bonus interview this week with 6'4" Stony Brook safety Dominic Reyes, check out our website, nationalfootballpost.com. Click on the character guys link. There you'll also find the music featured on this episode and 450 and counting scouting reports on this year's draft prospects. Second edition of Dr. John F. Murray's book, The Mental Performance Index, is available on Amazon.com, where he ranks the best teams in Super Bowl history based on their mental performance. You can also find him at his website, johnfmurray.com. If you like what you heard today, please tweet it, like it, share it, get it out there. If you'd like to contribute to the show, please contact us at information@nationalfootballpost.com. We'll be back soon with more on and off the field stories from this year's crop of draftees. From National Football Post, thank you for listening.